I'm delighted to welcome into studio John McLaughlin, who is the Chief Executive of Donegal County Council. John, a very good morning to you.
Good morning, Donal.
I was present at the budget meeting that was held in Lifford last week. The Council's revenue budget was agreed with spending of £185.5 million, agreed. And that'll be the effectively the day-to-day money it'll take to run Donegal County Council for 2024. A capital budget also agreed as well, with over £250 million in spending there, mainly from government grants. But talk to me first, John, about the revenue budget. I mean, effectively, that's the money you now have to run Donegal on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, Donal, and first of all, yes, budget day is always a big day for Donegal County Council, both in terms of the management and the councillors, indeed the people of the county. It sets up the programme for the next following 12 months. And you're right, the revenue is, we might refer to as operational. It does things, for example, maintenance of roads, maintenance of housing, nearly all the maintenance programmes, yeah, and the day-to-day running of the council.
And in terms of the meeting, and journalists often have discussions about the legendary budget meetings of the 80s and the 90s and the 10s, some of which I did attend myself, where the idea that a budget would be agreed and we'd all be on the road home by 5 o'clock in the evening, there was a time that would have been unheard of. Budget meetings could, particularly when they were called the estimates rather than the budget, but they could go on a long, long time, and you were at many of those.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, and I suppose it starts in our budget making process really starts about June. And June each year. So we build it up, and we have many meetings and workshops with councillors throughout that period between then and the end of the year. So that's what makes it seem to go quicker on the day if all the background work's done, and generally, I suppose, an understanding of what are the issues, what are the key points, how they can be facilitated or not, as the case might be, and a discussion around that. And
now, obviously things are different in that there are no longer commercial water charges to be discussed, there are no longer domestic water charges or rates to be discussed, and in terms of the commercial rate itself, the commercial rate has stayed very much the same now for the past number of years. So I suppose in terms of the discretionary council charges, there isn't as much, shall we say, controversial discussion to take place now as there might have been 15 years ago.
That's correct, yeah. The key heading is the commercial rates for the revenue budget now. Other charges happen at different times during the year. However, that doesn't stop the entire programme, because, as you know, the book covers the entire programme for the year, so other items can come up, even if they aren't directly related to the rates.
And in terms of the capital budget, which was also agreed on the day, now an awful lot of that money obviously is coming from central government, but you are also doing some co-funding, be it 10% or be it 25%, and there's also some development charges coming through and that, so there is a very small revenue element to the capital budget, but mainly that's funding that's really out of the council's control.
Yeah, I think what our control is to actually make the submissions and compete for the capital projects. That's where our strong is, and we totally count on capital projects for the development of the county. You're right. A lot of them nowadays require the co-funding. Some is 25%, now more recently reduced to 10%. And our role then is to raise money for that. And you might have seen in the book with about £40 million co-funding raised under loans. Yep. So the revenue budget pays that off each year.
And in terms of, I mean, there are so many projects. Now, I mean, look, we can sit here and say, I'm sure there are people going, what about this road? What about that bridge? What about, you could, if it were feasible, you could present the government with £1 billion+ in projects that need to be done in Donegal.
Yeah,
so to actually put that capital programme together in a way that's realistic and achievable is a job in itself, because you have got to pick the projects you believe, A, can get funding, and B, can be delivered in a reasonable time and in a way that best benefits the county.
Yeah, Donal, and I suppose that's no different than the revenue. We build that up over, in fact, capital projects are built up over a number of years, but a lot of them span many years, multi-annual. So you build that up and prioritise with elected members over the years. Then you compile them into the annual report. It's actually a three-year capital budget we present, the first year more certain than the last two. But that's built up, and if you look at some of the projects, it might take 10 years or longer. So it's a long, long planning process.
One of the big projects we're looking at now is the 10T project, and there's three basic strands to it. And the interesting point's been made by officials that in terms of the three strands, one of the things the council, I certainly get the impression from responses given to questions, and you may confirm this, that the council executives view very much with the 10T is that for the moment all three projects must go together, and you've basically got Manor Cunningham Lifford, you've got Letterkenny Manor Cunningham, which will incorporate the much talked about Bonagie Link, and then you've got the Twin Towns Bypass, Ballybofaced Roller Bypass. The council's view at this point is all three need to move together in tandem until we get sort of beyond the planning stage and into the more formal stages of actual operations.
Yeah, absolutely, Donal. It's vital we stay together as one big project. In fact, one big project, actually, we're told is better. And when you look at the overall financing of that and the long-term programme, so we're actually intent on keeping it together until the planning stage is complete. Then it'll be a matter for the funders then, whether they can fund as one big project or they look at phasing it. So we're not one to say, we'll break it up now, all to go together, and that's the best for Donegal, the best chance we have. We're ahead of a lot of the pack in the country now in terms of where that capital project position. As you know, it's been in the final stage before going to Cabinet to get the next milestone approval. Indeed, our council is pushing very hard with delegations, both to TII and the Department of Transport, to make sure it stays on track now. We were disappointed over many years. It didn't go at the time of the motorways, and now we have to go again.
And some of these projects, I mean, they've been on the... I mean, I was speaking to Councillor Patrick McGowan about 2 years ago, and I was reminiscing that I very much remember covering a debate in the council chamber many years ago during a time where I suspect you were probably the head of roads at the time on the council. But I remember him standing up and he made a comment about the Ballybofey-Stranraer bypass, and he made the comment, he said, "Cathaoirleach, if these delays continue, we mightn't get this road done until 2010. Now, I mean, and that's how long. Yeah. I mean, the Twin Towns bypass, as far as I can see, has been on the agenda for as long as I've been covering Donegal County Council meetings. And I've been covering Donegal County Council meetings for 33 years.
Yeah. No, Donald, you've been generous there. People are telling me it's on the cards for about 50 years.
Probably, yeah.
There were two bypasses maintained for one on each side of the town. We know the background, and it simply didn't get funded over the years while we watched all the motorways get built. And then when our turn came, there was a downturn around 2008, and then we brought back under the... it's a good enough thing called the 10T, a European-driven title that allowed it to get restarted sooner than the rest. So now we're back on again, and we're hopeful this time it'll be finally delivered.
By the way, if anyone wants to take part in this conversation and send in any questions you have about the council's budget, the council's spending and so on, this is your opportunity. We're speaking to the Chief Executive of Donegal County Council, John McLaughlin. John, in terms of the budget, a lot of discussion on Wednesday of last week, when the meeting took place, about how well the council kept into its budget. A number of councillors saying that there was a slight overrun on spending for 2023, but you then pointed out, yeah, there was a slight overrun on spending, but there was also a slight surplus in revenue. So, I mean, the council is pretty much balancing its books.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That point was made. It's the outturn was a lot higher than the budget this time last year. But the outturn was higher because we got several more grants during the year, several million. That's a good thing. We never turn away extra grants, and that's well known, and we just spent it. What we did turn out for the last number of years, in the last almost 10 years, is a slight surplus each year, and that we held that because the council had a large deficit for many years of a few hundred thousand each year, maybe up to 600,000-700,000 to write off that old debt. So I always try to come in just marginally underneath the plan every year, and our auditors are looking at that pretty tightly. It's good to do that. It keeps everything under control. It also allows it in the year ahead to go further with plans and allow the proper prioritisation of the elected members when the money's available, as it should be.
And it also gives you some a bit of wiggle room in terms of if the government comes forward and says, yeah, we can give, there's bridges need to be done, for instance, in every one of the municipal districts, and there's various roads, or it may be flood repair or whatever, that if the government comes to you and says, look, we can provide X amount of money for that bridge or for that project, you can go, yeah, we can provide 10% because we have that money in reserve that we can just dip into, so that the council always tries to have something that it can say, yeah, if it comes through, we can provide a bit of money to do the project.
Yes, yeah, well, so we always try to provide it. We have nothing in reserve. We actually have a deficit at the moment that we're writing off from several years ago. But we have, it means moving things around and reprioritising in order to create that margin, or getting loans, and then you pay for those for 20 years. So there's no mistake about it. Yeah. We're very, very tight for money, but been well managed and run tightly. We count mainly on government supports in Donegal, apart from the local money we raise here. And that's probably true for most counties outside of the Dublin region.
Let's talk a bit about commercial rates, because the commercial rates are substantial, if I recall off the top of my head, in around about the 40 million mark. It will be the projected income from rates in 2024. It's about 40, maybe 41, 42, there or thereabouts.
Yeah, about 40 million, yes, yeah. And that's, when you look at the revenue budget, that's almost a quarter of the 185 million. So it's a big component for us, raised locally. I would say that we have about 6,000 rate-paying properties. I would mention that, just to put it in perspective, about 80% of those pay 5,000 or less. There's four customers actually pay over 1 million each. So at the upper end, there's a lot of very big ones, maybe state utilities and the multinationals. and then a lot. We have many smaller ones, and of course we know it truly is hard to stay in business.
Yeah.
But keeping the perspective in terms of we count on those then to provide the services.
Now, we know that there was a revaluation process took place now, which is the council is involved in it, but it's ordered from on high. That comes from Dublin. It's a decision of government. It isn't a decision of Donegal County Council. And it's probably fair to say it is still being implemented, and it's going to take probably another year just to get the full impact of that revaluation clear, both to yourselves and to businesses. But how is that process going?
Yeah, and I suppose the principle of revaluation for a county, and Donegal is one of the later ones, is there's no net change overall. So within the overall rate amount, some go down and others have to go up to balance it off. That's the theory behind it, and that's been done. So we'd find, and that's true the way the outturn is here, that some have gone down, and then the flip side is some actually go up. We're working through that, and I suppose people have the right to appeal it, and then there's a separate process. Council's not involved in that, apart from, you're right, we understand what's going on, but we're not the decision makers.
Now, the council hasn't increased the commercial rate now, I think, since about 2018. Now, you did mention this year that there may well be a rate increase next year for the 2025 budget, and maybe conversations on that will start in the coming months in the council chamber. That's going to be a hard discussion.
Yeah, I think it's a discussion we're willing to have with our elected members in terms of where we're heading over the next 5 years or whatever, and the ambition we have for the council in terms of raising its own money to with the co-funding of major projects or where it takes us. The spending power of the, as we all know, the euro now has slipped back, and where we have fixed it, it means effectively we can do less with the same money that we had from 5 years ago. So we need to have an honest conversation about that. And what does that actually mean? Who does it affect in terms of the rate-paying property owners, and what it all means in terms of the five-year plan, for example?
A suggestion from one councillor that a value for money exercised by the council could create savings across various council departments, and that might be enough to negate an increase in rates. Is it your belief that that might be the case, or do you think the value for money assessments are tight enough as they are?
Well, and I think we've several people always scrutinise under the value for money and audit headings in the council. We're probably one of the most audited public bodies in the state. We're never afraid of value for money exercises. Always welcome them. I would say if you look at simply our staffing from 2008, 2010, we had about 1,500. Now we're between 1,100 and 1,200. So we're substantially less staff, and we're in a far, far more range of business now.
The Quarter says, and this is a comment that we hear often, and I'll put it to you, the council has been slow to keep infrastructure up with the expansion of the town over 30 years. The Bonnachie Link was necessary 20 years ago. Now, and I suppose it does raise the question, to what extent is it the council that controls how that goes, and to what extent is it external bodies, be it the department, be it the government, be it whoever?
Yeah, no, in the Bonnachie Link, and there's several, clearly refers Letterkenny, we have several roads planned for Letterkenny, totalling probably maybe 200 to 300 million worth, all of which we count on coming from the state. The Bonnachie Link's part of the 10T. We had identified that over 20 years ago and picked a route, a rough route for it, but there's never any money for it. And that's the problem. It needs the funding, needs the approvals to go for the consents and the planning and the CPO. That was never forthcoming for the Bonnachie Link or indeed the other 10Ts. I'd say the same is true for the Northern Relief Road and what we refer to as the Southern or the Lech Road, which is another 100 million project. With plans there for 20 years, but council on its own money will never pay for those. It needs state intervention.
Yeah.
I'd say also people talk about some of those being developer-led, but you look around Letterkenny now, the developer-led project would never fund that scale of work and means it becomes stagnant. So we need fresh thinking there, and we need an injection of money in Letterkenny, particularly I would say with the work we're doing with the North West City region and for Letterkenny to become the objective to become a small city. And what we need to support that, and that requires intervention.
The other thing that crops up in a lot of discussions is the fact that, for instance, we talk about the four lane, which has been much discussed over the past number of years. But the four lane is the N15. It is a national road. Likewise, Letterkenny Manor Cunningham is a national road. So it's not that Donegal County Council actually has control over those roads. In many cases, they are state roads run by Transport Infrastructure Ireland. And they're the ones that make the calls on the N15, not necessarily Donegal County Council.
Yeah, no, they're, you're right. Those are national roads. Fully funded, 100% funded by the state through Transport Infrastructure Ireland. What the council can do is, I suppose, representation, lobbying and helping to prioritise. And we would have done that for several years, as you know, the Lifford to Letterkenny and on through the four lane on the books for many, many years.
The issue of defective blocks, obviously, is a huge issue in Donegal and has been now for some time. A caller is asking, is there any way to find out what the current status on a person's application under the scheme is? They're saying the staff on the hotline in the council are fantastic. However, they're not able to give timelines or real-time updates. It's having a detrimental effect on people and adding to the already high levels of anxiety and stress being experienced. I appreciate staff are busy, but this does nothing to alleviate the stress and suffering. I have all my documentation up to date, finance, builders, everything lined up, but I can't move until I get my letter of conversation of grant amount. My life is on hold and in limbo until I can get this moved on. Any help would be appreciated. Mm. And I'm sure that this is one caller, but I'm sure there are many, many people out there in exactly that position, and they're looking toward Donegal County Council and they're asking where is this and at what point am I? Is there anything that can be done to give them clarification or to give them some light?
Yeah, Donal will say first, and we have huge understanding and empathy for people are going through for many years now on the defective blocks. We did send the enhanced scheme. We have almost doubled our staff in the office administering it, and we're now administering a lot smaller part of the overall scheme. So What all I could do there is, if I get the details, the staff would get back to anyone. Now, I know there's many, many calls coming in, many ways to contact us. I can't give an answer here, but certainly we'd commit to getting back to people as soon as we can, and certainly they need to know where they're at in the scheme.
But in terms of decisions as to whether or not a letter can be released, is it Donegal County Council makes that decision? Is it the department makes that decision? Are the council just administering this on behalf of the department, and the department are making decisions, or does Donegal County Council have some autonomy in terms of how this is administered?
Yeah, well, yeah, and there's a variety of answers required there, Donal. It is a department scheme, we're administering it. However, we have the autonomy to issue certain letters, and it's important to know whether somebody's coming in under the old scheme and getting that converted, or they're applying fresh under the hand scheme. If the old scheme, we're closing those out, so our team will issue the letters and everything. Under the new scheme, we do part one, which is eligibility and so on. Then it goes off to the housing agency, but they write back. So we're the ones issuing the correspondence every time to the homeowner, even the housing agent involved.
So it very well could be the case that you're actually waiting on the housing agency to give you the go-ahead to make the next move, even though what people will see is, I contacted the council and the council gave me a letter, but in between is a process where you have to liaise with a third party.
You could be, although from what you read out there, quite possibly that person might be on the older scheme, where it would be then under the council's control.
One final question, John, before we leave it. Caller says, I'm in a council house 24 years. Any work that has to be done to the house, I've had to do it myself. The council isn't doing enough on the upkeep of houses. Surely this will only cause greater problems down the road. In terms of the upkeep, now I know there is money in the budget for the upkeep of your own housing stock. Does that caller have a point?
Yeah, and probably need more detail to know the specifics. But council covers a certain range of topics under housing maintenance, and then certain things fall to the tenant. We spend a lot of money on housing, although we do hear that we would need to be spending more all the time. But there's a limited budget available in terms of making it all work, and we work on a prioritised basis. But in that case, and I would compliment tenants who do a lot of work themselves, and they've great pride in their own homes, and they do things perhaps over and above. But the council does have a maintenance budget there, and it's done on a prioritised basis.
John McLaughlin, the Chief Executive of Donegal County Council, thank you very much indeed. John,
thank you, Donal.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio. An important note to read out, carers are urgently needed to cover shifts from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. and 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. daily and also at weekends. Experience with dementia or Alzheimer's is essential. For more information, please call us here at Highland on 074 91 25000. So carers urgently needed to cover shifts from 10 to 5 and then from 5 to 9 in the evenings. Experience and with dementia and Alzheimer's is essential, as we say, and it's 0749125000 if you would like to know more and have a conversation. And just to let you know, on this week's Hours to Protect, which comes up in just around about an hour's time, Donna Marie will speak to the Clean Coasts Officer for Donegal, Elena Kunkel, and also William Keogh, the Secretary of the Friends of Roughsnalla Clean Coasts Group. They won an award recently for their campaign, Lift It Bennett. It's all things beaches and pooches. So if sand and dogs are your thing, don't miss Hours to Protect today. In fact, don't miss Hours to Protect any day, because it's always really well worth listening to. And it's on at 12:30 during the Around the Northwest programme. Now, we are going to welcome another guest into studio. Eimear Haughey is with us. Eimear, good morning.
How are you?
Very well indeed.
Thanks for having me.
You're the daughter of Barney Gibbons, who many people will know. And Barney had an illness, which sadly, earlier on this year, resulted in an amputation.
Yes, that's right. January passed, he had an amputation, and unfortunately, he's looking at having a second one in the coming months.
And this is because of serious diabetes?
Yeah.
How is his health at the moment?
It's not great, to be honest. He's in and out of hospital a lot. He's home at the minute, but he's just after doing almost a two-week stint back in.
Yeah.
So we're hoping we can keep him home for Christmas.
And at the moment, your mum's his primary carer, and she's not a young woman either?
No, they're both in their 70s, and yeah. Mum's actually going for an operation herself now on the 20th of December. She's going in for a knee replacement.
Yeah, so it's hard enough at home, and no doubt, I mean, you know, and any support you can get would be greatly appreciated. Yeah. And with that in mind, some good friends of the family, the Browns, were organising a tractor, and Robert Brown and Anne-Marie Brogan are organising a tractor run that's going to take place next weekend.
They are. Robert and Dad has been great friends for years. They both drove lorries together. Dad was a lorry driver for 40 years, so Robert, seeing the difficulties that everybody was having trying to care for Dad now that he's off his feet completely, and they organise the Northwest Truck Fest every year in aid of different charities, so this is why they've come together and organised this tractor run for him.
So it takes place on Sunday next, which is the 17th.
Yeah.
Tell us about the route and the arrangements.
So it's registration is at McGettigan Travel in Dromore, out beside the NCT Centre, at 12 o'clock, and it's €20 tractor. It's heading towards the mountaintop into Kilmacrenan and back into Remelton, to the Lennon Lodge. We had to change the route slightly. So in the Lennon Lodge then, we will have music with Paul McCahill, Johnny Haughey, Mark McLean, and a few guest singers, Evelyn Gallagher, Anne Biddy, and Jennifer Mathewson coming in for a few songs as well.
And it starts, the run itself starts at 2, but registration, as you say, Mega can travel in Dromore from 12 noon, and the run starts at 2. So presumably you'll go from Dromore to the Polestar and then up past the Mount Errigal and then up the Business Park Road, Mountaintop, then Kilmacrenan. Yeah.
That's it, yeah. Just to avoid the main town traffic, I suppose, with Sunday before Christmas.
Yeah,
it's
going to be very mad in town, I suspect, all right. So it's important to, as you say, I mean, your dad drove a lorry for many years. A lot of people will know him. Most people, I suspect, in the transport business will know him. I mean, you know, the name of Barney Gibbons is well known across the area. And it's times like this, you always find that people just come out of the woodwork and say, and you'll get a lot of, oh, I remember driving with your dad 20 years ago. I remember your dad this, I remember your dad that. And you're going to find people knowing your dad that you never knew your dad.
That's it. They're a great community. He's met a lot of men along the way down through the years to different companies that he worked for. And we'd like to encourage as many to come along to the tractor run and to the Lennon Lodge as well for an evening of crack.
How many tractors are you hoping to get?
Well, as many as possible. I'd heard of a tractor run there just been ran last weekend. I think they had upwards nearly 100 tractors going. So the more the merrier.
Absolutely.
Everybody's welcome.
And in terms of, as you say, he's at home at the moment, as is your mum, but your dad needs physio, and it's hard, it's expensive, and you'd be hoping to, I mean, in terms of keeping him at home as long as possible.
As long as possible. We're hoping if we can get a new mode of transportation for him, because he's completely off his, his good leg now. He used to be able to transfer himself from the bed to the chair and into the car and things like that, but we can't do that now. So he's confined to the wheelchair the whole time, unless the use of a hoist. Even getting him to the tractor on Sunday's proven to be difficult, never mind all the appointments that he has to attend.
Yeah. And I'm sure he's looking forward to that too, because that's going to give him and something he's going to need. I mean, he's going to need that mental boost, I suspect, as well. And hopefully that will give him a good shot in the arm as well in terms of, you know, his own well-being, because you're going to have to keep an eye, obviously, on how he's doing inside as well as outside.
Well, that's it. He has coped extremely well, considering what he's been through. For Dad being such a social, outgoing person, if he wasn't on the road, he was out socialising with friends. And now to be stuck at home all the time, it's been quite difficult for him.
So the tractor run takes place on the 17th of November, which is this coming Sunday. It's a tractor run for Barney, €20 per tractor, and then there'll be a session afterwards in the Lennon Lodge. It could be a hell of a good day for a lot of people.
Yeah, fingers crossed. We have some great prizes. Some companies sponsor really good prizes. We have an overnight stay in the Shandon Hotel with afternoon tea, and McGittigan Travel kindly sponsored a €250 LK voucher. We have vouchers for Tokyo Boutique, Avanti Hair, and Cowan's Tractors. They sponsored a really big tool kit as well. So there's some things being auctioned. We've actually got livestock for auction as well, believe it or not.
I presume they won't be there on the day, though.
Hopefully not.
That would be interesting. A whole live manger.
I don't think it would look too good in the Lennon Lodge. Live sheep running around.
Yeah, probably not. I think there's going to be enough mayhem now without jumping animals into it as well. Eimear, we hope you have a really, really good day. And listen, all the best with it. And we wish Barney well. We wish your mum well as well with the operation coming up there too. And hopefully 2024 can see, you know, the equipment. I mean, and I'm sure that there's equipment you could do within the house as well. As you say, maybe the use of a hoist, maybe the use of various things. And the more you can do in terms of providing that equipment at home, the more you can do to make a home stay as safe and as practical as possible.
That's
and
it.
Hopefully that will happen. Eimear, we wish you all the best.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Eimear. That's Eimear Haughey there, and that tractor run for Barney is taking place, as we said, leaving Bonagie at 2 o'clock on next Sunday afternoon. Registration will start at 12 noon, and it'll go from Dromore. It'll go down the four lane as far as the Polestar. It'll go out past the Mount Errigal, out as far as the Business Park Road, up past the old Unify site, and then up to the Unify roundabout, and then it'll not Unify, the Optimum roundabout, sorry, then up past here at the mountaintop and then out to Kilmacren. Eimear, thank you.
Thanks very much, John.
Right, this is the 19 Noon Show on Highland Radio. Just a comment, we were speaking to John McLaughlin there, and John made the point that, you know, Letterkenny's ultimate aim is to become a small city. Quarter says we need to be able to get out of Letterkenny before we can become a real city. That is a bit of a joke. So says that Quarter. Now, as John McLaughlin said, sadly, the reality of it is that they're very much dependent on the government and Transport Infrastructure Ireland for prioritisation and for money, and that is the situation that they are in. It's the 9 till noon show. It's Highland Radio. It's at 23 minutes to 12 noon. I'm going to take a short break. Don't forget, by the way, and we will have our quiz in just a few moments' time. We'll have that very shortly. Aidan Murphy is coming up after this programme around the Northwest, standing in for John. And as well as that, just to remind you that the draw continues, the Highland Radio Grand A Day draw. Grand A Day up to the 22nd, and then a car on the 22nd. So you can still buy tickets for that. They're available on our website, highlandradio.com. And you can also ring the station at 074-91-25000, and you can buy your tickets via the station as well. And there will be a call made at some point this afternoon. Can't say what show it's going to be on, but it will be made at some stage this afternoon. And there will be a person winning €1,000. And obviously the tickets also enter you into that draw on the 22nd for the Skoda Kamiq as well. Just want to say good morning to the people who have been listening to us on our social media. Marie and Elaine, Charlie, Mary, Kevin, and to Anthony, and to all those who are listening to us this morning. It's great to have you. If you've any comments to make, 086 60 25000. You can call us on 074 91 25000, the 086 60 25000 number, good for both texts and WhatsApps. Take a short break, back after these. Let's go and do our McGee's chemist quiz. And we have, as I say, two callers to do today, because it didn't happen yesterday for various reasons. A very, 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 very busy show yesterday. So we're going to do two today, as I say. And our first caller is joining us on the line. And I'm delighted to say good morning to Roisin Blacken in Harmony Hill in Letterkenny. Roisin, good morning to you.
Morning, how are you?
Very well indeed. Roisin, I'm going to play you a snippet of a Christmas song. And I am going to ask you to identify the song. Now, it's a song that's very well known at Christmas time. So have a listen. And can you identify this Christmas song? We're just going to play, as I say, a very short snippet. Any thoughts?
Is it Do They Know It's Christmas?
By Band-Aid? It most certainly is. Congratulations. That is Do They Know It's Christmas. Yay. By Band-Aid. So congratulations. Now, Roisin, you have won yourself a Carolina Herrera Good Girl Eau de Parfum Spray, courtesy of McGee's Chemist. And perhaps more importantly, you're entered into the draw for the hamper at the end, which contains a hamper of Clarins goodies, also a blank canvas 12-piece gold makeup brush set, a large blank canvas purple 3-piece gift set, a Be Perfect a muted palette, a Jimmy Choo ladies fragrance, and also a 20x16 wrapped canvas, so you can wrap your favourite photo in canvas and have it hanging pride of place on your wall. Congratulations, Roisin, that's you.
Thank you very much.
With Do They Know It's Christmas, and have a listen out on Friday. You could be the big winner there as well. Thank you indeed for playing.
Oh, great. Thanks, Ryan.
That's Roisin, right? Let's see if we can make this 2x2, because we are now joined on the line by Mary Duffy, who joins us from Urris in Clonmany. Mary, good morning.
Hello, how are you doing?
Very well indeed. Mary, hopefully we can help make your Christmas. The prize on offer this time, it's a 50 milliliter Paco Rabanne Invictus Eau de Toilette spray for men, and that'll be a nice handy present for somebody, I'm sure. And as we said already with Roisin, if you get this, you will also be in the draw for the hamper at the end of the week on Friday. Now, we did give a sneak preview of this earlier on in the show, so take a listen to this. It's a very well-known Christmas song. It's played backwards, and see if you can identify this piece of music, please. Right.
Derek Ryan, Do You Know It's Christmas?
Say it again.
Derek Ryan.
It is Derek Ryan indeed. Well done. That is Derek Ryan, and congratulations to you. Mary, you have won, as I said, you have won that Paco Rabanne Invictus Eau de Toilette Spray, and also you are in the draw for the hamper prize on Friday. So congratulations, and thank you very much indeed for taking part.
Thank you very much.
Okie doke. It's our absolute pleasure. That's Mary Duffy there in Urris Clonmany. And earlier we had Roisin Blacken in Harmony Hill in Letterkenny. Both of those winners. And it's good to have the prize won at the first go. It's always good to hear. And there'll be another one, as we say, another one tomorrow. And there'll be one on the programme on Wednesday, Thursday and Friday as well. So don't forget, we will have a daily prize, and we will also have the hamper. And just to repeat what's in that hamper again, because it is a very, very nice hamper indeed. It's got that Clarins Christmas goodies. It's got the blank canvas 12-piece gold makeup brush set, purple 3-piece gift set, a Be Perfect muted palette, Jimmy Choo ladies fragrance, and that wrapped canvas photo frame as well. Wonderful, wonderful stuff indeed. Now, we are going to go back to the telephone, because we are going to speak to Faith, who is a friend of Valerie, a practicing nurse in Letterkenny, and there has been sadness. And Faith, a very good morning to you.
Good morning.
What happened? Because we know that Mavis Clinic Manyonga came from Zimbabwe to celebrate Christmas in Letterkenny, but sadly there has been tragedy.
So Valerie invited her mum, Mavis Clinic Manyonga, to come to Ireland to spend Christmas and holiday with her. So she picked her mum from the airport, Dublin Airport, on Saturday the 2nd of December, and took her to Letterkenny to her house here. So in the early morning of Sunday, the 3rd of December, the mom just called for help, and she was down in the stairs, and Valerie just rushed down to her. She found mom sitting on the floor. She was still responding and called the paramedics. The paramedics arrived, And then after some minutes, she had a cardiac arrest in the house. She was resuscitated in the house and taken to the hospital. In the hospital, she received treatment in the intensive care unit and sadly passed away on the 6th of December. So this was the first time that Valerie had invited her mom to come in. So she was looking forward to spending the Christmas with her. But unfortunately, things didn't go as planned.
And now the challenge is that Valerie is going to bring, wants to bring her mum back to Zimbabwe for a proper burial, and that is where it, it's going to cost a lot of money.
Yes. So that's where the challenge is, the cost of repatriating mum's body back to Zimbabwe.
That cost is substantial. We're talking in excess of 10,000 euro.
Yes. Now, we are talking about costs that we got from our funeral director that is going to amount to 10,500 euro.
The challenge now is to raise that money. Valerie does not have that money to hand. She's a practicing nurse in Letterkenny. Presumably that, that amount of money is not available to her. So you're hoping to raise some money, I take it, to get that, that money together so that Valerie can bring her mum home.
Yes, yes. That is the appeal. Valerie doesn't have that kind of money at the moment. She had planned the Christmas and the holiday to be with her mum here. So what she had planned was Christmas. She had booked some holidays and she had decorated the house for Christmas. She had packed the fridge with food, but she didn't plan that anything would go wrong at this time.
Now, a GoFundMe appeal has been launched online that people can use to help.
Yes. A GoFundMe, it has already raised 2,800 euros as we speak. People from all over the world, they are helping, and mainly people from Letterkenny.
Yeah.
And special thanks from people from Letterkenny and around Donegal.
Now, and Valerie has siblings in Zimbabwe as well, and her dad is there, her siblings are there, and obviously they want to bring their mum home to her home for burial, and it's very important to the family that, that this is done.
Yes, it is really important. Valerie is the only family in Ireland. She has three siblings back home, and the father is back in Zimbabwe. So it will be really important for the burial to happen in Zimbabwe so that the people there, back home, can have closure also.
Obviously, it's important that this money is raised quickly. Is there a timetable in as much as, is there a time that the remains of Valerie's mum have got to be taken from the hospital and put on a plane, or how are things in terms of just the arrangements?
So we were hoping, since we are coming into the holidays, there are so many papers that needs to be, paperwork to be done back in Zimbabwe, in the embassy and in the foreign affairs. So we were hoping if we get the funds quickly and we pay the funeral directors, they might be able to speed up the process so that at least by this Friday, we have everything in order.
Would the hope be to actually bring her mom's body back to Zimbabwe before Christmas?
Yes, yes, that's what we are really. So that if we raise the funds quickly, she might be going back home before Christmas.
Yeah. And obviously Valerie will want to go back with her mum to Zimbabwe and be with her family for some time over Christmas so that they can grieve her mum's loss. And it's going to be yes. very important for the family that that can be done.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Faith, I really, really hope that, that people can help with this because, I mean, to be on your own in a foreign country and have this terrible thing happen to you and just if anyone is coming in, we're speaking about Faith is a friend of Valerie who is a practicing nurse in Letterkenny and Valerie's mum travelled over from Zimbabwe to celebrate Christmas with her daughter and her daughter's family in Letterkenny. Sadly, within 24 hours of arriving, Mavis, Valerie's mum, had a heart attack, cardiac arrest, went to the hospital and sadly passed away in intensive care at Letterkenny University Hospital. And this GoFundMe appeal is to help raise in excess of €10,000 so Valerie can bring her mum back home to Zimbabwe, back home to her father and her siblings who are in Zimbabwe themselves, and that they can give her mum a burial and hopefully do so before Christmas. It's important, Faith, to you, it's important to Valerie, and it's important, obviously, to the family that this does happen.
It is really important. It will really, really make a difference and it will really make this Christmas a difference.
Yeah. Faith, thanks indeed for speaking to us today. And look, we hope that this can bring some succor and some solace to Valerie. And if that money is raised, at least it'll give Valerie the comfort of knowing that she can be with her family. And I've no doubt Valerie wants to be with her family at this time as well. Because, I mean, you know, I can think of nothing worse than mourning the loss of a parent on your own with no family around you, knowing that they're on a different continent, knowing that they're so far away. So it'll be very important to Valerie as well to be with her family. So for her comfort and for her happiness and for the happiness of everybody else, it's very important, I think, that this is achieved. Faith, listen, we wish you and Valerie all the best at this time and hopefully this target can be achieved. But for now, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your call. Thank you for your help. And I would like to thank in advance the help that is going to come through from the people from Letterkenny, from Donegal and from all over the world. We really appreciate this. And thank you so much.
Yeah. Listen, Faith, we wish you all the best. And if you want to contribute, there is a link to the GoFundMe page, which we can put up on our own social media. I won't read it out because it's one of these things where it's just got loads and loads of numbers. It just doesn't work audibly. But it is, as I said, it is on our website. Carolyn's just confirmed to me. It is on our website. It is on our social media. It's gofund.me and you can get the link there and you can assist in this really, really important thing. We're coming to the end of the show, actually, and we have done all the... That's done. Yep, we have pretty much done. A lot of people expressing an interest, actually, in the Dear Gay book. I'll just put it up on camera here. If you just look, this is the book, Dear Gay, compiled by Susie Byrne. We spoke to Susie earlier in the programme. A lot of people expressing an interest in the book, yeah. A lot of people expressing an interest in it. Some really interesting letters in here. And you know, it's called a handwritten history of Ireland, and it's really, really it is exactly that. Now, a lot of people have been suggesting to us, by the way, just listening to what Faith had to say, a lot of people have been suggesting the Kevin Bell Trust. Now, the Kevin Bell Trust in this instance do not have a role to play because the Kevin Bell Repatriation Trust, which is a hugely important trust, the Kevin Bell Repatriation Trust does not repatriate people out of Ireland. It brings people home to Ireland, but it does not have a role repatriating people out of this country to other areas. So a lot of people suggesting the Kevin Bell Trust might be able to help, and we have confirmed it, that they only repatriate into and not out of the country. And they do fantastic work in their own right. But that's in this instance, sadly, the Kevin Bell Repatriation Trust is not an option. Hope you've enjoyed the 9 till noon show today. Just to remind you that Aidan Murphy is coming up around the Northwest. That'll be following this programme. Aidan's here until 2:30. At 2:30, it's David James. And then after the news at 5:00, from 5:30 until 7, it's Ivan Borland. And just to remind you that at some point this afternoon, it may be with Aidan, it may be with David, we don't, well, I certainly don't know. It'll be on a different show each day, but a call will be made at some point over the coming hours to one ticket buyer from the draw, and €1,000 will be given away today if you're that caller, and if you get the call and you answer the phone, €1,000 will be yours once you answer the question. So that could happen. So keep an ear out for your phone, and obviously keep listening to Highland as well and see how that pans out. That's it from me. Greg's back on the 9 till noon show this tomorrow morning. As I said, it will be Aidan around the northwest later on. I want to say a very special thank you to all of those who took part in the programme today. Thanks to you for your comments. Thanks to all our guests. Thanks to Caroline, who produced, and also to Sharon for her help on the programme as well. And thanks to all the contributors. This is the 9 till noon show. It's Donal Kavanagh saying goodbye, and have a very good day.